أما بعد، today we continue with the reading of our book نواقض الإسلام by Sheikh Muhammad ibn عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. And we'll be reading the sixth point today, inshallah. The sixth point. He said, Asad, number six. Six of what? Six of those things, nawaqid al-Islam. Those things that nullify the Islam of a person. Somebody is already a Muslim. There are certain things he will do, it will make him become a non-Muslim. What are those things? The ulama say those things are many, but some are more dangerous than the other and more frequently committed than others. The most dangerous ones and the most frequently committed ones are those ones that are contained in this book. This Sheikh mentioned only 10 of that and read 5 of them. On the 6th he said, مَنِ اسْتَهْزَأَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّن دِينِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْ ثَوَابِ اللَّهِ أَوْ عِقَابِهِ كَفَرَ. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. He said رحمه الله من استهزأ بشيء من دين الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أو ثواب الله أو عقابه كفر. والدليل قوله تعالى قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. The sixth point is من استهزأ بشيء من دين الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. من استهزأ بشيء من دين الرسول. Whoever gets or mocks something من دين الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله from the religion of the Prophet Muhammad. من استهزأ, whoever mocks, mocking, jests بشيء من دين الرسول, he mocks anything in the deen of the Prophet Muhammad. The previous point was من أبغض شيئا مما جاء به الرسول, whoever hates something. This point من استهزأ, whoever mocks, plays with, jests with anything from the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or the person mocks and jests at Allah's reward. Allah rewards so-so person who does so-so thing. He starts laughing at it, mocking it, making jest at it. Or iqabihi. Or Allah threatens to punish people for particular things. Allah says, whoever does so and so, I will do so and so. And then he begins to laugh at it. He begins to mock that thing. Whoever does this, kafara, has disbelieved. من استهزأ بشيء من دين الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Whoever mocks at anything from the deen, from the message, from the religion of the Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, aw thawabillahi, or anything of Allah's reward, أو عقابه or Allah's punishment, such a person, kafara, has disbelieved. What the need? And the evidence for that, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى is a statement of Allah, the Most Exalted. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ Say to them, O Prophet Muhammad, أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ Is it Allah, or His signs, وَرَسُولِهِ or His messenger, كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ that you are mocking us? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا Don't give excuse. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ After you had believed, you had totally disbelieved. You are disbelievers already. Don't give excuse. Allah said to him. The Shaykh said, رَحِمَهُ مَنْ اِسْتَهْزَأَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ دِينِ رَسُولٍ مِنْ دِينِ الرَّسُولِ Whoever mocks at anything from the message of the Prophet Muhammad, from the deen of the Messenger alayhi salam. Whoever mocks anything. And the deen of Rasul must not be mocked. Alayhi salatu. His deen must not be mocked. Mocking it will contradict two major things that are very basic. Or three. Or more. The first is that when you mock it, you cannot like it. When you mock, you can't mock what you like. If you like a thing, you don't mock it. So if you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not mock their religion. You will not mock what they have given you. Likewise, if you fear Allah, the first one, if you love Allah, you will not mock at Allah. The second one, if you fear Allah, you will not mock Allah's name. You don't mock somebody you fear. If you fear somebody, you don't mock him. When you see him, you just go away. You don't mock him. You don't mock somebody you fear. You don't mock somebody you love. If you love Allah and you fear Allah, you will not mock his religion. So you see, mocking the religion contradicts these two things. Likewise, it also contradicts Iman itself in that religion. For example, Allah says, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, rather, that man sama ramadana, so imanan, whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, out of Iman, He says, we fast out of Iman, that is, out of full understanding that this Ramadan has been obligated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he believes. If he believes this, he will not mock at a fasting person or at fasting itself. If he believes that Allah is the one who said the fasting person should fast, he will not mock fasting. So it means, mocking the deen itself contradicts Iman. Mocking the deen contradicts Iman that should be in the heart of the mu'min. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, Man istahza'a bi shay'in min deen al-rasul, whoever mocks anything from the religion of the Prophet Muhammad. This deen is the siratun mustaqim. Siratun mustaqim. And we pray every day in salawat. We say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Go. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us upon this straight path that we are on. Oh Allah, guide us upon this straight path we are on. Oh Allah, guide us upon this straight path. And this straight path is just the Quran and the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the Quran. And the Quran told us, like one verse we had read once, that Allah said, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ تُبْقُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ
يهدي به الله من اتبع رضوانه سبل السلام ويخرجهم من الظلمات الى النور باذنه ويهديهم الى صراط مستقيم.
This is the point of this. Allah was talking about the Quran, that the Quran ويهديهم, Quran guides whoever follows it الى صراط مستقيم, upon the صراط, upon the right path.
مستقيم means something that is straight, that will lead you to your goal. Something is straight, it does not have what Arabs call i'wijaja, turning here and there. Mustaqim, the Quran, وَيَهَدِيهِمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, the Quran will lead you upon the straight path.
This is the same straight path you say, اِهِدِينَا الصِّرَاطٍ, اِهِدِينَا الصِّرَاطٍ. So you see, it's a straight path. Allah also told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهَدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, and you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are a guide onto that path and upon it. So the Quran is guiding us onto Sirat Mustaqim and upon Sirat Mustaqim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a guide on Sirat Mustaqim. We beg Allah every time in Surah Al-Fatiha, O Allah, guide us upon Sirat Mustaqim. If this Sirat is truly Mustaqim to you, you will not mock it. This is the point of it. If this Sirat, this path is actually Mustaqim to you, straight, and leading to the right place, leading you to Al-Jannah, you are going, you will not mock it. So when you mock at Sirat Mustaqim, what will you do to the Sirat that is Mu'awwaj? What will you do to it? The one that is not straight. And then what are you referring to Allah as? Allah says Sirat Mustaqim. You are laughing at Allah's Sirat Mustaqim? So this deen is straight and it must not be mocked. It means Mustaqim, it does not have defect. So the person who mocks at something that is not deficient or defective is a fool. Because there's no basis for laughter and death. Something is straight, Mustaqim, without defect, without deficiency, because it has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And each time the Prophet was guiding us upon Sirat Mustaqim, as a human being, when he heard Allah guided him, no, don't do that. Do it like this. Do it like this. This is right. This is wrong. Go straight like this. At the end, the person laughs at it. It has no defect. So why laughter? So the person is perhaps laughing at his own, you know, deficiency intellectually. So this deen, the Shaykh said, مَنِ اسْتَهْزَأَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ دِينِ الرَّسُولِ, whoever laughs at anything inside this religion that was brought by the Messenger Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَوْ ثَوَابِ اللَّهِ, or the person laughs at Allah's reward, Allah promises reward for this. Look at wudu we perform. After the wudu, there is a zikr we make. It's part of the adhkar for wudu, after we make wudu. And Imam Ibn Sunni in Amalul Yawmi Wal Layla, he said in an authentic hadith that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam told us that whoever makes the wudu and then says, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We know it. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Allah will order the angels to write it on a silver plate, and that silver plate will be preserved for him till the day of Qiyamah. So you make wudu for such. A silver plate is preserved for you, on which it is written, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta,
أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. You make wudu for Zuhur. The same thing. Asr, Maghrib, Isha. You want to make Salah to Duha. The same thing. How tremendous is the reward for you on the day of Qiyamah? It will be written in silver and preserved for you until the day of Qiyamah. This is Sawab, reward of Allah. All that the Messenger said alayhi salatu wa salam, that Allah said, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds take away evil deeds. And the Messenger said alayhi salatu wa salam, that whoever performs any salah, salatul zuhur, or salatul subhi, or salatul asr, all his sins will be forgiven by Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It remains to perform the salah properly. That is a problem. The problem with the people regarding issues like this is to make sure that the salah is performed properly at its time, following its obligations, following its sunnah, following all the matters that we need to follow. That's all. Being conscious during the salah. But when we do that, we have all our rewards forgiven, all our sins forgiven. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that al-hajj al-mabrur laysa lahu jaza' illa al-jannah. A well-performed hajj has no less reward except al-jannah. Hajj, well-performed. He said, man hajja falam yafsuk walam yarfus raja'a kayawmi waladat bi ummuhu. Whoever performed hajj, lam yafsuk, he was not sinful during the hajj. Not the hajj of beating up hajj chairman. Not that hajj. Not the hajj of beating up your roommate. Not that hajj. You see all the things people do at hajj. So the Messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam, lam yafsuk, he was not sinful during the hajj. Walam yarfut, neither did he make conjugal relations with his wife when he is in ihram. The Messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam, raja'a kayawmi waladathu ummuhu. This individual will return home. He will be like the day his mother gave birth to him. All his sins would have gone. That is born again. He walked and he got born again. All his sins will go as if he was born again. But we can't be born again. It is as if he was born again. Raja'a kayawmi waladathu ummuhu. He is going to return home as if his mother just bore him back today. So he starts to say, oh, one day they have come. And he starts mocking at these. Who is he mocking at? Is he mocking at the messenger? Or he's mocking at himself? If he was mocking at the messenger, then it's unfortunate because the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yansiku anil hawa. إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى. All what he said, as he said it, he was saying it to us out of revelation. He was not speaking from his own desires and volition. He was speaking from revelation given to him by Jibreel. So who are you mocking? Jibreel who brought the message to him? Or the messenger who was giving the message alayhi salatu wasalam as he has been ordered to give it? Or the Lord who sent both Jibreel and Muhammad? Who are you mocking at? And who do you have a right to mock? Who do you have a local standing to mock? How big are you that so much now you think you can mock something from what the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has brought to us? Who are you? Who are you? What do you think you have gained? How old do you think you are now of age? How much financial opulence do you think you have attained that gives you a right to mock Allah's messenger? Or that gives you a right to mock Jibreel? Or that gives you a right to mock Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are you mocking? So when you look at it, you see that the individual does not have a right to mock anything from the religion, nor mock Allah's reward for particular actions. When Allah says this is the reward for so-so, there is no mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Jews were conversant with that and the Christians.
They mock Islam a lot. They mock Islam a lot. And that's why a Muslim should not mock Islam, so that he will not be behaving like the Jews and the Christians. The Jews mock Islam a lot. Even when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was alive, they mocked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah told us about that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah says, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, la tattakhidhu allatheena ittakhadhu deenakum huzwan wa la'iban min allatheena utul kitab wal kuffar awliya. لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا. Those who take your religion, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, all you who believe, لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا. Those who take your religion هزوا ولعبا, a jest, ولعبا, and a thing of play, don't take them. والكفار, and the mushrikun, these non-Muslims, لا تتخذوهم أولياء, don't make them your friends and associates. Allah says, واتقوا الله إن كنتم مؤمنين. If you are really believers, fear Allah. That is, avoid what I'm saying you should avoid. Allah says, وإذا كنتم إلى الصلاة اتخذوها هزوا ولعبا. When you stand up for prayer, they make your prayer istakhazuha. They take your prayer as what? Huzwaw wa laiba. A thing of jest and a thing of play. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. The reason why they do that is because لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. So when you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, they are laughing at you. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. When you say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, they laugh at you. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Because they lack sense. Allah said so in the Quran. If somebody is sensible, someone says, Allahu Akbar, when we say Allahu Akbar, and we go on sujood, we are not only making the statement on our tongue, dear brothers. You are saying Allah is the greatest with your tongue. And with your limbs, you are going down on the ground, on your head. The most high place on your head, you are putting it on the ground. And you are saying the one above all things is the highest. So you are demonstrating physically that he is truly the highest. And the way to do that is that you bring the highest place on your body, the most revered place on your body, you put it on the ground to tell him that you are the highest. Above you, there is nothing that is high. Near you, nothing is high. Nothing is high as you are. You made everything. You control everything. You control everything. You sustain all things. You will destroy all things. Kullu man alayha fa. Allah will destroy everything. So when you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it's a big thing. Ittakhazuha huzwan wa la'iba. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. They do that because they lack sense. If Allah says this about a Jew or about a Christian or about an adulator, how then will it be a Muslim who will pray now Allahu Akbar and then goes out and laughs at what he has just done? Is this not unfortunate? Really, really unfortunate. So anyone who does this kafara is like those Jews on the pitch. Allah says, why is that? Why you stand up for salah? There are other things they just ask in our deen. And they are from the best things in our religion. They just ask us. When we go for Hajj, they just ask us, where are they going? What are they doing now? Because they did not used to go to any pilgrimage. It was not part of their religion. And that's why they don't have outlined practice in those so-called pilgrimages they make. No time, no specific act of worship. They only go on what
you call it tourism. So they apply for tourism visa. We apply for Hajj visa and Umrah visa. There are differences between the two. The visa we apply for is a visa of worship, Hajj, Umrah. The visa they apply for is a visa of play, tourism, amusement, visitation. And when we go, when they go, what do they say, what do we say? When we want to commence Hajj, we say, Labbaik Allahumma Umratan, O Allah, I am here to perform Umrah. Labbaik Allahumma, O Allah, I answer your call to make Umrah. Or if it is Hajj, the time of Hajj, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan, O Allah, I answer your call to make Hajj. Immediately you say that, you start saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Here I am, O Allah, here I am. Labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. Here I am, O Allah. There is none equal to you, O Allah. Here I am for you. Inna alhamda, verily, all praises, all, one ni'mata, all favor and bounty, laka, they belong to you. Wal mulk and dominion, la sharika laka, nothing is like you. Who is worshipping? Who deserves to laugh at the other? Is it the one who went for play and amusement, or the one who goes? And from the very moment he starts the job, he starts praising Allah and announcing Allah's praise and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declaring his oneness. Who is worshipping? So they laugh at us. The one who should be laughed at is laughing at another. And that's why in the Ma'idah we write, if you just go down a little bit, Allah says, who is the person that deserves to be laughed at? Man la'anahu Allahu wa ghadiba alayhim wa ja'ala minhum al-qiradata wal-khanazir wa 'abada at-taghut. Who should be laughed at? Is, are they those who la'anahum Allah? Allah cursed them. Allah cursed the Jews. Allah cursed the Christians. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Allah says, Lu'ina alladhina kafaru min bani Israila ala lisani Dawuda wa Isa. Dawud cursed them. Isa alayhi salam cursed them. Allah says, who deserves to be laughed at? Are they the ones who were cursed? Their messengers cursed them. Because they never hear something. We saw what they did to Musa alayhi salam. They troubled Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Banu Israel. Wallahi, the messenger said to alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, فَقَدْ أُوذِيَ مُوسَى بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَوْ بِأَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَصَبَرَ. Musa alayhi salam was caused harm, more harm than this, you are talking to me, and he was patient, meaning I must be patient too. Musa was caused harm, Dawood was caused harm, Isa alayhi salam was caused harm. They caused them. So who should laugh at the other? But they are laughing at Muslims. Some Muslims go out of Islam because their friends laugh at them. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. قَوْمٌ, Allah says they are not sensible. They are laughing at you. Okay, brothers. A sick person having malaria, when you give him honey, he will say the honey is bitter. When you give him plantain, eggs, you know, nice meal, something, he will say, oh, it is bitter. So a person who is sound in his health, when you give him honey, he says the honey is sweet. You give him nice meal, he says it is sweet. Who do you judge it? Do you say honey is bitter? Is honey bitter? But a sick person said honey is bitter. So a Muslim should not say because some Christians are laughing at him or her. That is why you are not doing something inside Islam. Allah said, don't worry about those people. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Somebody who is not sensible is the one who laughs at something that is perfect. Something is perfect. It is mustaqim. It lacks any deficiency. Is it not the truly insensible individual that will laugh at that thing? Therefore, the Sheikh said, من استهزأ بشيء من دين الرسول whoever mocks or jests at anything from the deen that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us, or sawabillah, or the reward that Allah promises us for particular action, or iqabihi, or the warning and threat that Allah places over particular sinful actions. As we mentioned for good deeds, there are evil deeds too. Allah says, whoever does this, I will deal with that person. One common one amongst them is aklu riba, consuming riba. The basic rule about riba is, a person borrows you 100 naira. He says, when you pay back, you pay 120 naira. Whether you trade with it, whether you fed your family with it, whether you bought a clothes with it, whether you bought a car with it, whether you traded with it, and whether in that trade you made a profit of 100% or you made a loss of minus 150%, you must pay me back additional 10 naira. He says you must pay him back additional 10 naira over the 100 naira that he has given out. This is riba. In the Quran, Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَعْقُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. On the day of Qiyamah, those who eat riba, they will not stand up except in the way a person that has been touched by the devil will stand up. يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. They will be struggling like this, as if he is mad. Allah will make them grow mad on the day of Qiyamah. They will behave like mad people. Those who consume riba, Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَعْقُلُونَ الرِّبَا. Those who consume riba, it says, لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. The way they will stand up is like the one that the shaitan has touched. And CH, which is forever, min al mas, out of the way that they will be behaving abnormally, mas the shaitan, the one the shaitan has touched. A Muslim reads this and says, oh, it's not so, what do you mean? No, he's asking these people. He's jesting at what? Is it the Quran is jesting at, or who the one who brought the Quran, Muhammad? Or the one who brought it to the Prophet Muhammad, Jibreel alayhi salam? Or the one who sent Jibreel to bring it to the Prophet Muhammad? Who is the jest at? Or at his own self? Well, you don't jest at it. If you fully believe that inna Allah la yukhlifu al-mi'ad, that Allah does not renege in his promise, and that Allah is qawiyyun shadeedul iqab, strong and severe in his punishment, if you truly believe that Allah punishes people, you will not laugh at it. You will not mock at it. And you will not make a jest of it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the father, in the verse that followed that, Allah said, I remember a jest a Muslim made of this verse of riba. Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتُ. Allah said, I will destroy riba وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتُ, and I will make charity, I will nurture charity, I will make it grow. I will put my blessings in it, that is, I will bless charity, but riba, I will destroy it. So a brother said to us, a Muslim, he said, are you people not saying, just before the economic downfall in Europe, just before it, he said, Did Allah not say, Yamhaqullahu riba, I will destroy riba? He said, yes, Allah said so. He said, why is the economy of Europe and America flourishing? Wallahi. And as if Allah wanted to make him understand that it is not flourishing, the economic breakdown started. Do we understand? A brother, a Muslim, was asking us that you people are saying riba is bad. He said, yes. He said, but those economies that are based on riba, like in Europe, like in US, their economy is flourishing. This, that. As if Allah wants to tell him that both Europe and US have not survived economically. He showed the whole world. The economy fell like a pack of cards. He fell. Now, London, Cameron is proud to say, outside the Islamic world, London has the highest investment in non-interest banking. Islam, he called it Islamic finances. Cameron, David Cameron is not a man. He's a, what is he? Prime Minister, British Prime Minister. David Cameron. He said, London has the highest investment in Islamic finances. And that was what they resorted to when they failed from riba. When interest, banking and financing failed them, the alternative they had is this one Allah talks about. Yamhaqullahu riba wa yurdi sadaqat. And I tell you, mark it, you will see how their economy will grow now in England. Because the growth of economy, the fall of economy, bounties in economy, it's not in the hands of man. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a country is thriving economically, it's not because they have oil. Does oil, mineral resources, definitely indicate economic buoyancy? Do you understand? If it indicates economic buoyancy, we will be the most buoyant country in the world economically. If natural resources we have in a country is the final indicator that country will be economically buoyant, Nigeria should be one of the richest countries in the world. I am a geologist from far away into Cotonou, up into the aspects of, let's come into Nigeria, aspects of Ogun State, down to Ondo, there is bitumen there waiting. Do we know? Do we know that our oil reserve, the gas we have, is much more than all the oil we have been exploring and the ones we have as reserve? Do we understand? The oil we have been exploring and the one that is estimated, our estimated reserve from our well, the gas we have is more than that. And our gas is a ready-made gas. The gas Nigeria has, both onshore and offshore, is ready-made. Methane, clean gas, just explore the gas. No refinery is needed. And even the oil we have that is being explored now, is one of the best oils in the world. One of the best oils in the world, Nigeria's oil. Okay, neem oil. What about agriculture? Is there any part of Nigeria that you plant something and it does not grow? Something will grow there. Without fertilizer, with or without. Okay, what about our mineral resources? They are talking about gold and diamond in around Zamfara, Sokoto area. Even around the Chad Basin, they are talking about oil exploration there, far away Maiduguri. Leave apart the politics of that. We are blessed in this country. That is material resources. So what about human resources? Is there any university in Europe you hardly don't find a Nigerian professor? I tell you, go and check. even in America, they understand that. Nigerians are very brilliant people. I say this again. Nigerians are very brilliant people. Very, very brilliant and hardworking. And they are very patient at work. They can endure work difficulties. And there is no circumstance they can adjust to. But all these things have turned to negative for us. What we are saying is, economic resources is not a definite indicator of economic buoyancy. That our economy is buoyant is in the hands of who?
Allah.
So when Allah says, if you do riba, if you trade riba, I will destroy your trade. If a person comes and starts laughing at that, the one who laughed at this for the result, since then till now, he stopped talking about it, the individual. He never talked about riba again. Otherwise, he was a vanguard of it. He stopped talking about it. So if a person mocks what Allah threatens riba, and those who participate in it on a very light scale, usually people who trade in riba don't really succeed financially. Let's leave that. We are not talking about riba. What we want to indicate in that is that Allah has promised that he will destroy riba. So let not any individual think that he is sensible and then he's laughing or mocking at that. If he's a Muslim, we will say, look, you are behaving like a... That statement is a statement of... It can take you out of Islam. It has not already taken him out of Islam. So the Sheikh said, Man istahza bi shay'in min deen ar-rasul, whoever jests at anything from the deen of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aw thawabillahi, or Allah's reward, aw iqabihi, or Allah's punishment. Allah says anybody who does those things are punished. Let me give another example. The Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, it says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي. The Prophet Muhammad says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ. This hadith is very popular. الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي. As I searched for the author of this hadith, I saw a wonderful ziyada. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَالرَّائِشُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي بَيْنَهُمَا. الرَّائِشُ. لعن الله الراشي والمرتشي والرائش الذي يمشي بينهما. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one الراشي والمرتشي, the one who gives bribe, والمرتشي, and the one who collects the bribe, لعنهم الله, the woe of Allah be upon them. He now added, he says, والرائش, and the middle man, الَّذِي يَمْشِي بَيْنَهُمَا, who is in between the two of them. I've never seen this one or heard it before. But it's a Sahih, it's a Mustadrak Hakim. It's also a Musnad Imam Ahmad. The Isnad in Sahih. وَالرَّائِشُ بَيْنَهُمَا, وَالرَّائِشُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي بَيْنَهُمَا, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي, وَالرَّائِشُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي بَيْنَهُمَا. May Allah call the Prophet Muhammad, he is Ra'ufur Rahim, he likes people, he's very lenient to the people, yet he's saying Allah's punishment is upon, Allah's anger is upon Ar-Rashi, the one who gives the bribe, Wal Murtashi, the one who is giving the bribe, Wal-Ra'ishu Ladhi Yamshi Bainahuma, and the middle man who goes in between the two of them, arranging the bribe. There's a question, what then is bribery? What is rishwa, if you like, ar-rashwa? What is rishwa? Or ar-rashwa? Either of them is correct. What does it mean? The ulama say, ar-rishwa, bribery, is the money given to get something you are not due for. A person is not due for something, he gives the money to be given that thing. You are not due for it. You don't have a right to it. So you say, let me give you this money so that you give me the right to it. So you give the money to turn right to wrong and to wrong a right. To right a wrong or to wrong a right. Either of them. Some people were caught committing particular crimes that for which they are punishable. So they give some money so that they will be left. It's rishwa, bribery. Some people are not entitled to some things. So they give some money so that they are giving those things, like bribery. But if you are entitled to a thing, and you are denied that thing, and asked to give money, ulama says it's not bribery. If you give it. Because you are not righting any wrong, you are not wronging any right. It is the person that is asking you for that money that is being sinful. He is collecting your money unduly. But that undue collection does not fall under rishwa or arrashwa. Do we understand? Allah says, لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض بينكم. No group of you should collect the money or property, wealth of the other group, except that it is in a bargain that both parties are pleased with. So if you are collecting my money, say, bring the money. If you don't bring me, this is your right, I will not give you. Say, give me. He is collecting your money against your will. He will be punished for that. But what he has done is not bribery. Bribery is when somebody is not qualified for something, and he gives the money so that he is giving that thing. When somebody does not have a right to a thing, and he is giving that thing so that he is giving money so that he has a right, this is the meaning of what? Ar-rishwa or ar-rashwa. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, La'ana Allahu ar-rashi wal-murtashi wal-ra'ishu alladhi yamshi baynahuma. The whole of Allah be upon the one who gives bribery. The whole of Allah be upon the one who takes it. And the whole of Allah be upon the middleman in that deal. I am mentioning these evils because they are common in our society. And easily people make jest at them. So people will say, Afa, if you don't bring that thing, forget to. If you say, oh, this is rishwa, Allah hates it. Perhaps somebody is taking bribery to deny you of a right. You have a right. So somebody is collecting bribes from another person who does not have that right. So as to deny you. So you are telling him, please don't do that. Don't collect my right and give it to another person because you have collected bribes. That person will say, Afa, if you don't give me this thing, I'm not going to give you. If you don't bring up, forget it. Sometimes we have a way of saying it, we hide the file. La'ana Allahu ar-rashi wal-murtashi. If he collects that money, he won't do anything good with it. Because the money is a cost. If it costs money, he's collecting. In your tribe, you say, oh, wait, please. Who cost it? The messenger, alayhi salam. The messenger cost the money. He cost the collector. He cost the giver. And he cost the middleman. People make jest at things like this. Don't make jest at them. They are very, very severe. Part of what people make jest at now, shaking women. Say, oh no, but as an official, I can't avoid it. You can avoid it. If you are a minister, if you don't shake a woman, nothing will happen. People in protocols, if you know, is there anything that will happen? I am not shaking women. So when a woman is there, you are shaking. Shake this one, shake this one. When there's a woman there, you drop your hand. You go to the next person. As a matter of principle. Do you know that there are some people who may not be Muslims, but they can take to this principle and they will do it and nothing will happen? But we Muslims, we are the ones sending our religion backward. Do it, let them ask you, say our Islam prohibits it. Everybody will know that Islam has prohibited it. When we are all undergraduates, those girls perhaps we are in the same department or doing a course or something, if they mistakenly touch you, they'll say, Afa, please, sorry, because they know that you don't like it. Is it not so? They can never stretch their hands to say, shake you. They will never shake you. Why? Because you have made them to realize that I don't shake. Islam does not allow shaking. I remember one of my lecturers, she's dead now. Unfortunately, she died as a kafira. Really unfortunate for her. She never got married until she died. They say that she's brilliant. Nadem Sabi, let her say that to Munkar and Nakir now in her grave. May Allah protect us. May Allah make us die upon Iman. One day she came into the class to shake people. She does funny things. I knew she wanted to embarrass me. So she stretched her hands. I said, I don't shake women. She said, I have a professor she shakes. I said, if he's ready to gamble his own religion, I don't gamble my own religion. So she looked at me angrily and went away. She's supposed to be my lecturer. Allah did not make her teach me. Because she thought, whenever she wanted to teach me, that I should teach her, they will remove her from that course. Let's not gamble our deen. From that day onwards, when I saw her in the corridor, if I greeted her, she would look at me wrongly, very badly. When I see her, I say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Till I left the university, that was what I was doing. When I finished that one, I put Falak. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَكِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ. Once she's coming, I start getting ready. So let's not sell our deen cheap. If you stand by your principle, you'll be known for it, and people will not trespass it. It does not cause a quarrel. Those people that are not wearing earrings, they are not ashamed of people. Those people that are trekking from my school to wherever they are going to church, wearing white garments, they are not ashamed though. How should you, the follower of Muhammad, how should you be ashamed to say, when you are asked, Ustaz, why is your trouser not reaching the ground? And you tell them that that is the sunnah of our messenger, Muhammad. Are you ashamed to tell them about him? You are ashamed? When Bill Clinton visited Nigeria when he was a president, after that time he had come so many times. I'm sure we know that. One of the most recent ones that I can remember now was when he visited Nigeria. It was brought by This Day newspaper for the end of year. I think it was last year sometime. Brothers, I'm sure you should be current about this thing. Okay, let's leave that one. Two, three, last week, George W. Bush was in Nigeria. I'm sure we knew. It's on the news. So somebody shook Bill Clinton, and for some days he was not washing his hands. He said he shook the sitting American president. He's big in his eyes. What about Muhammad? You should be happy and proud to say it anywhere. Afa, why are you leaving your beard? This is the sunnah of our messenger, Muhammad. Say it to the end, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was how he left his beard. Ustaz, why are you wearing cap? This is the sunnah of our messenger, Muhammad. Ustaz, why are you going to pray? We have been called to pray and the prayer is for time. That is the sunnah of our messenger Muhammad. Say, tell them, that was what he brought. There is no human being you can ascribe yourself to that can bring honor to you in this dunya and hereafter like who? Muhammad. Ascribe yourself to him. Don't be shy. Not to talk of mocking. You don't have anything to be shy about. About the personality of the Messenger Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one that everybody and the angels say salat on him. They beg Allah to shower his mercy and his favor upon the Prophet Muhammad. The one that on the day of Qiyamah he will be on Maqam al-Mahmud before Allah gives judgment. And when all the creatures have gone to all the messengers to plead before Allah that Allah should commence judgment, nobody will be found. They will not go before Allah. The only one who will step up in front of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah's best friend, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And his name, Muhammad, speaks for that. Because that word, Muhammad, means the most praised, Muhammad means the more praise. If they ask you, what is the meaning of Muhammad? The most praised human being. And his other name is Ahmad, meaning the one who praises Allah most. So he is the one who praises Allah most, and he is the most praised. All around him is praise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't be shy. You should be happy to say this is the sunnah of our messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, man istahza'a bi shay'in min deen ar-rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody who mocks or jests at or makes a thing of play, anything inside the deen of the Prophet Muhammad, aw sawabillah, or anything that Allah says, if you do so, 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 I will reward you. And he's making jest at that reward, aw iqabihi, or any of Allah's punishments, that if you do so, 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 I will punish you. Somebody is making a jest at that, kafara. That person has what? Disbelief. That person is becoming what? A kafir. That is jest and joke. They are what? Joke and jest of a kufur. He said, rahimahullah, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ. The evidence for that statement, that anybody who mocks at anything inside this being has disbelief, the evidence for that, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence for that is a statement of Allah in the Quran, قُلْ عَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. This verse occurs in Surah At-Tawbah, I think verse 63 and 64. But it has a sabab al-nuzul, that is, the event leading to the revelation of the verse. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his way to Tabuk. That journey took him 15 days. So, 15 days through. So while they were on the way, they camped somewhere. They camped somewhere to perhaps rest and then continue the journey. So some of the Muslims stood up in the midnight. They were making Qiyamul Layl. And some were arrested. So some people were sitting down, gisting, quote unquote, just talking. And they started saying, one of them said, مَا رَأَيْنَا مِثْلَ قُرَّائِنَا هَؤُلَى. مَا رَأَيْنَا مِثْلَ قُرَّائِنَا هَؤُلَى أَرْغَبَ بُطُونًا وَأَكْذَبَ أَلْسُنًا وَلَا أَجْبَنَا عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ. He said three things. He said, مَا رَأَيْنَا مِثْلَ قُرَّائِنَا هَؤُلَى. I have not seen this kind of our reciters of Quran. I have not seen this kind of people before. So he's describing them now. He said they are what? Argab abutunan. Their butun is argab. Argab abutunan. They are pot bellied. Or to say, their belly is always looking for more food. That is, they don't know more than food. Just stopping, stopping, eating, eating, eating. That's all they know. He said, وَلَا أَكْذَبَ أَلْسُنَنْ. And their tongues can lie. They can lie. Don't mind them. They can eat and they can lie. He says, وَلَا أَجْبَنَ عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ. And when they meet the enemies, they are cowards. They can eat food. They can lie. And when they meet the enemies, أَجْبَنَ جُبُونَ. Cowardice. Ajbana in the liqa. When they meet the enemy, they are cowards, they will run away. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not cowards.
if we want to prove this statement, we will devote the entire time we have next for it. But we are not. Let's give just one incident. Ukasha ibn Mustan, radiallahu anhu, was going on one of the battles with the Prophet Muhammad. They were going on a battle. He didn't have money to buy swords. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him, Ukasha. Sinami ya Rasulallah, where is your sword? He said, I didn't have sword though. And he's going to that battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam broke the stem of a tree and gave it to him and said, Jahid bihaza. Take, fight with this one, seek. If they were cowards, they would not go to a battle without a sword. And if they were given a stick, they will not rely on it. They are not cowards, radiallahu anhu. Let's leave that till another time. The messenger's companions were from the bravest of men. Khalid ibn Walid, the day he died, he was regretting. Say, I fought war for Allah's sake. There is no part of his body that was not having a cut or a tear. Khalid ibn Walid, he said, look at me dying on my bed. Why should I die on a bed? Do we understand? Men don't die on their beds. Like reinterpreting the statement, I'm a man. And I have fought in battles. Why should I die on my bed? Anyway, say, look at me. All my body, stab, spear attack, sword. And yet he died on his bed. These are the people these people are referring to as cowards. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad. They are not cowards. So when a companion heard that statement from that individual, he quickly went to tell the Prophet Muhammad. Say, Kazafda, you have lied. La ukhbiranna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will report you to the Prophet Muhammad. He went and reported to the Prophet Muhammad. And Allah revealed this verse. Allah said, Qul, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it Allah? Wa ayatihi and his signs, wa rasulihi and his messenger, kuntum tastahzi'un, that we are making jest of. Because those people were in tahajjud, they were making jest at them. See their belly, if they see battle, they will run away. So who were you making that jest of? Billah? Is it Allah? Wa ayatihi, or the Quran they were reading? Wa rasulihi, or the prophet they were following, alayhi salam. Kuntum tastahzi'un. Allah said, qad kafartum ba'da imanikum. You have already disbelieved. After you had believed. You have already disbelieved. You were believers, but you have disbelieved. This hadith was reported by Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I saw the man holding the reins of the Prophet's camel. The Prophet, when he revealed that verse, he quickly went on the back on his beast of burden and he proceeded. The man held the reins of the horse, saying, O Messenger of Allah, Kunna nakhudu wa nal'abu. It was play and jest, so we were only playing, you know. We were only jest, you know. We were not serious, so Allah says, Abillahi wa ayatihi wa rasulihi kuntum tastahzi'un. That play and jest and mock you say you are doing, is it Allah that you are playing with? Or the Prophet? Or the Quran? What are you playing with? Meaning that Islam is not a religion you play with. If you play with it, if you jest with it, if you mock it, the person stands to lose his religion. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, we end with this his statement, rahimahullah, regarding this verse. He says, dallat ala annahum lam yakunu inda anfusihim qad ataw kufra. Hada, Allah said, qad kafartum ba'da imanikum. You have already disbelieved, have you? Allah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, rahimahullah, that this shows that ala annahum la yakunu lam yakunu inda anfusihim qad ataw kufra. In their own opinions, those who made that statement that Allah said that they have already disbelieved, lam yakunu, they were not intending that they want to disbelieve.
Do we understand? They were actually just joking. Allah, because Allah said, "Qad kafartum ba'da iman." You have already disbelieved after your iman. But they were saying, "But we were just joking." Nakhudu wa nal'abu. But it was just mere joke. Allah said, "You have disbelieved, sir."
The Sheikh said, rahimahullah, that they were not intending to disbelieve. Bal zannu anna zalika laysa bikufrin.
They thought that they are mocking at the religion, or they are joking like that, jesting like that. It's not from
kufur. Fabayyana anna listi'iza'a.
So Allah made it clear that jesting billahi with Allah, wa ayatihi and his signs, wa rasulihi and his prophet, kufrun is disbelief. يَكْفُرُ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِ.
The one who does it, even after he had believed, enters into what? Disbelief. Mocking Islam. When you see a Muslim mocking Islam, tell him that you see that statement, you see that action, you see that laughter. It's a laughter of disbelief. It is something that can turn you to a disbeliever.
So the Sheikh said, rahimahullah,
من استهزاء بشيء من دين الرسول.
Whoever makes jest or mocks anything inside the deen of the Prophet Muhammad,
أو ثواب الله,
or the reward of Allah,
أو عقابه,
or the punishment of Allah,
كفر,
such a person has disbelieved.
والدليل,
the evidence for that,
قوله,
is his saying, Ta'ala, the most exalted, that kul, say to them, O Messenger, Abillahi wa ayatihi wa rasulihi kuntum tasta'zi'un.
Was it Allah or his messenger or his signs that you are jesting at?
La ta'taziru.
Don't give excuse.
Don't say, I was just joking, I was just playing.
Qad kafartum,
you have already disbelieved,
ba'da imanikum,
after when you were initially believers.
So this goes to tell us the evil in jesting at the deen.
It's very common now, especially amongst those who think that they have attained intellectual opulence. They are now professors. They are now doctors. So now they can say and do anything. Anything can happen. I'm a professor. Be careful. Don't make a jest at the deen of Muhammad. When they die, unfortunately, they will not write professor on your grave. When you meet Munkar and Nakir, I'm a professor, will not save you. On the day of Qiyamah, professor is not important. It's not important. I'm a general in the army. It's not important. Sometimes the importance wanes right from this dunya. Do we know that? I'm a general in the army. Sometimes when people retire, and I've seen it before. I was in an office, and somebody was introducing himself as an army something. Let's leave that one. And he was begging money from the person he went to see. Say, yes, please give me money. I need money. I need it. So sometimes those things are not guaranteed. They are things of this world. Don't let it push you to say what you should not say about Allah. Don't let it push you to say what you should not say about the Prophet Muhammad. Remember that you will die and you will be in your grave. All those things will not be important again. I'm Director General in the ministry will not be important in the face of Allah. It is your deeds, your obedience to Allah and His Messenger that will be important. So you, in this world, in your grave, and on the day of Qiyamah, our dua is Allah should make us end well in this dunya. We should end upon Iman, and we should leave Iman with our descendants. We'll stop here, inshallah, so that we can take a few questions and attempt them, inshallah. But up there, it's really becoming a nuisance. Love. Okay. Whatever the case, you are number one. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Let's make it snappy. 12.
One. Okay, you are one. Alaykum salam. You say what? And they are not entitled to the right. People ask for a particular right, and they are not entitled to it. So they offer you bribe. Take. You say no. So they threaten you, as he said. If you don't take, we will kill you. Should you take? So that you give them the right when they are not due for the right, which is what we describe as well as what bribery. Should you give it? It depends on the individual. There are three positions, three situations. Situation one, you can decide to stay firm. You say, look here, like somebody said recently in an open letter, my life is in the hands of Allah. You cannot kill me. If you kill me, alhamdulillah, hasbunallah ni'mal wakeel, your iman can be in that level and you will do it. They may attempt severally to kill you and not succeed. Do you understand? If you have iman, strength of faith, you can do that. You reject and you don't give it to them. Case two. You don't give it to them, you give it to them and don't collect the bribe. You say, it is another person's due, but I will not collect that money. But it's another person's right, you are compelling me to give you. I'm only giving you because you threatened me in my life. Otherwise, I would not have given it to you. Take, but your money I don't want. You can do that one. But the first one is better than you. The third case, you are afraid that even when you don't collect the money, your life is still in danger. There are people like that. They will say because you didn't collect the money, they will punish you for that. They will do this. So whether you give them the right or not, but if you don't give them the right and you don't collect the money, they will do this. So you may collect the money and still give them that thing out of weak faith. But money like that, don't use it for personal benefit. You can keep it for, you can put it in the office account. If your office has an account, don't use it for personal benefit because it's a cost money. The money is a cost money. From the symbol of cost money is that they don't do good things with them. Many rich people don't pay zakat. They have money. But when Allah removes the barakat from the money, they will not remember to do good things with the money. They won't pay zakat. They will take care of their family. I tell you, even their wives and children sometimes suffer. And they still have the money with them, really. They are afraid to leave anything from it. I was told recently of a rich man, one of the richest you will never think of. I'm sure everybody here knows him. They say, if you are going with him, if he wants to buy pure water, he will ask, please, now who get fat men are there, buy the pure water. But for him to put his hands in his pocket and bring out the money to buy it, he will never do it. If somebody, everybody here knows, they say it's very stingy. So I ask, where is the baraka in his money? If those around him don't feel that they are working with a rich man, do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes you see people rich, but Allah has removed the baraka. Whatever they do, you hear them, they hit them 419 here, they hit them 410 here. It's one of the causes. They have illnesses here, they travel. I know somebody every three months, she travels to England for medical attention. And that's how she'll do for the rest of her life. Because the matter is spinal cord matter, accident. So she goes to see a neurosurgeon once in 3 months. May Allah protect her. So when they steal the money, Allah gives them something that they will be spending the money on.
As'alullah salamat alaikum. So those are the three cases. I hope you took your answer, inshallah. Number two, alaykum as-salam. I would like to answer that question. Are there bid'ahs? Is it true that I think I mentioned something similar to that in the last class. I have. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Inshallah. So innovation, there are innovations that can take somebody out of Islam. But usually they classify them as innovations that are connected to issues of creed, issues of aqidah. Take just roll that. Innovations connected to the matters of aqidah. Hold that basic principle. I think let's leave it as that. Number two. He is asking, he says, the love of Allah and his reward and the fear of Allah and his punishment. You know, there are two things, loving Allah and Allah's reward. There are two things. Then fearing Allah and Allah's punishment. The question now, which one should be more in our heart? Should we love Allah more or fear him more? Should we be afraid of his punishment more, or we should be hopeful of his reward more? Which one should be more in our heart? Ulama have discussed this matter greatly. Very greatly. Some say what should be more in our heart is hope for his reward. Because he says, Inna rahmati tazlibu ghadabi. That my rahmah supersedes my annoyance, my wrath. He says, so we should be more hopeful. So, but others say no, we should fear him more because his punishment is more severe. And on. But what the ulama says, when we are young, before we grow old, we have youthfulness with us, we have strength with us, we should fear Allah more. Why? Because youthfulness easily makes people fall into sin. If you do a survey of those who make zina, you will see that zina is common amongst young people than old people. So if young people fear Allah more, they will leave zina. Do you understand? It will make them go nearer Allah because they will leave sin, because youthfulness, the age of being a youth itself, encourages or brings about or gets people to be strong for sin. So when you fear Allah more during your youth age, it will make you run away from sin. But that when you are old, you should be hopeful of Allah because you are going to meet him and he wants you to be hopeful of him. So that hope will keep you alive. It will not make you be afraid of dying. That hope will make you do more no appeal. I'm going to meet Allah, so let me prepare to meet him. At that time, you should fear him less. So they say, when we are young, and this appears as what some of the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Al-Qayyim have chosen, that when we are young, we should fear Allah more, fear His punishment more. But when we are old, we should be hopeful. And I have seen it. I have a friend who is an old man. Whenever I meet him, because he lived a funny life somehow in the past. So when he now realizes Islam, he feels really bad. So he goes around with young people. He performs salah, how to come to salawah in the masjid. Before you call the azan, most of the times it's in the masjid. He makes salawah to the rawatib. He doesn't go to the wicked and all that. Even when he speaks, he will tell you, carry me to the masjid. This Baba. So one day I met him. I started telling him the values of being an elderly person in Islam. Wallahi, I saw in his face joy. I started telling him the virtues of salah, the virtues of coming to the masjid, what old people regain, and Wallahi was very happy. Each time he sees me, he laughs to the end. Because that time, he's going to meet Allah. He's already thinking about death. And death is enough care, my brother. Death is enough care. I don't know who is not afraid of death. I tell you, death, no, is enough care. So when you increase scaring him again, you are adding to his problems. He has nothing to scare him. Don't tell him fire. Oh, death, just dying itself, is enough. So at that time, for him to be more hopeful, we pay him more. Otherwise, when the fear is too much, you may not be able to do anything. When you fear, the tremor itself will leave you, you can't do anything. And Allah wants us to do something. So when death has already scared him, don't scare him anymore. Give him hope. Hope. Give him hope. So this is what, and there are narrations regarding this. There are narrations on that. So when we are young, we should fear Allah more. When we are old, we should be hopeful more in Allah's reward and Allah's forgiveness. We should hope in His Jannah, in His Rahmah, in His pardon. Because Allah pardons a lot. Wallahi, Allah pardons. Number four. Alaykum salam. Our time is passing, so make it hasty, inshallah. What do you mean by that? That question is not clear. What has it? What about that? You've not asked the question. What is the Islamic view about genotype? What does genotype do to you? Uh-huh, you're asking a question now. <He's> not. They just died. There's different between the two. So what? What's his name? Nelson Mandela? Madiba? Let me start from that one. Wallahi, I sorry for him. Wa ubashiruhu bi jahannam. I give him glad tidings of fire. I sorry for him. Wallahi, he suffered for that because he died as a non-Muslim. If he had known Islam, if he had accepted Islam secretly, we don't know that one. But what we know, al-hukmu bil-zahir, in the Sharia, you judge by what you know that is apparent. What we know is that he's a kafir. Nobody has come to say he's a Muslim. To assure, the one that was close to that was Michael Jackson. When you research it, you know that he wasn't a Muslim. He was only thinking about accepting Islam after the last concert in England. Yes, his plan was that after that concert, he was going to go to Doha to accept Islam, where his brother lives. And I'm aware that his sister lives there now too. And when he goes there, he will now go and make Umrah and all of this. He will accept Islam, then make Umrah. But it did not happen. The fact is that Michael Jackson was not a Muslim till he died. The same thing we can say about Nelson Mandela. I would say that of Michael Jackson because if he had accepted Islam, perhaps many of the people would have accepted Islam along with him. Because he had followers. He had people who could die for him. You know what I mean by die for him? In the days of his concert, when Michael Jackson comes to make a concert, people tear their dresses. Michael! They go crazy, mad about Michael Jackson. Unfortunately, he died at an anonymous. I listened to an interview he gave, not too long, less than 2 years before he died, or three, during his case. Let's just go to the answer. Madiba did not die, Nelson Mandela did not die after me. But let me say what I wanted to say, that I think some benefits there. When Michael Jackson gave that interview, he said he's not happy. He said he has made billions. He said, but there are some people who want to control us. They want to control what we are doing. They want to control every aspect of our life. Despite the fact that he has helped to raise billions for charity, for different purposes, they are not allowing him to rest. And he must tell the world, I'm not happy, I'm not happy. Michael Jackson said that. He's not happy. So he was thinking perhaps he would get happiness from Islam. But he was thinking he would do a bye-bye concert. That's why I don't postpone Tawbah. Because you may never get it. Do it now. Ulama said to postpone Tawbah itself is a sin that requires another Tawbah. So he was postponing. And he was going to make that concert on what he was saying, that they don't care about us. That was supposed to be the title of that concert. And he was preparing for it. It was during that they gave him what they gave him. And Allah decided that his time was up. So the truth is that he didn't die as a Muslim. Research the matter, you will see. He did not die as a Muslim. Michael Jackson did not die as a Muslim. But I wish he had died as a Muslim. Many people perhaps, would have followed him to Islam. And if you read all those events leading to his death, you see that perhaps, they had seen that he was actually going to announce Islam, and they didn't want that they stopped him, as they have been stopping people. It's a normal conspiracy theory we know in the world. Yes. Any person who has not recognized that fact has not known this dunya. Yes. When they notice some things about some people, they take them down before they do those things. May Allah protect us. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi, walakinna aksara nasi la ya'lam. Let's leave that. Back to Madiba. Madiba is not known to have accepted Islam. Yes, he supported the poor, he supported the oppressed, he didn't like people to be oppressed, he fought for it all his life. There was a time W. Bush was coming to Pretoria, so was coming to South Africa. He left Madiba, Nelson Mandela left South Africa. He said he does not want to be in the same country with a killer of children. He was referring to George Bush in the attack he gave on Baghdad, Iraq. That they were killing children and women innocently. Over 500,000 children died. They have said it. They have reported it. Western media has reported these things. Don't think that we have read it from Saudi Arabia or any other country in the world. Western media is follow these reports from their media. I'm telling you what they say. I'm not telling you something that is strange. They say so, that they killed over 500,000 children in Iraq. Okay? May Allah forgive all those who have been killed who are Muslims. And may Allah give patience to the parents of the children that have been killed. So when the man was coming, he said, I cannot meet a man like you. He left South Africa. He said, I can't stay in front of you. And the U.S. is in the news too. It's not new. All the things I'm saying is in the news. They labeled him as a terrorist. He was on their terrorist list. Now they are praising him. May Allah protect us. So, dear brother, simply put, he struggled, he fought, he stood, but he did not have Islam. فَأُولَٰئِكَ habitat a'maluhu. All those people, all those work is waste before Allah. May Allah protect us. So don't mourn him. People like that, if we want to follow the sunnah, when they carry their dead bodies away, we should say, we should pray to that dead body, Ubashiruki or Ubashiruka bi Jahannam. I give you the glad tidings of fire. Because he did not accept Islam. That is why, and is the reason why we must understand the importance of these issues we are discussing, things that spoil the Islam of an individual. No matter how free you are in giving people sadaqah, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how much you think you are contributing to society, if your Islam gets destroyed before you die, it is waste. So we must protect our iman till death. Till death. Otherwise, anybody who is deceived that if you go to one babalawo, they will make you a director, and they make you a director after that, and you don't re-enter into Islam, and you die like that, I'm sorry for you. You could have performed Hajj billion times. One single shirk will destroy all the things you have made. So Islam really deserves that we protect our iman consciously and make sure that وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. May Allah make us die upon iman. Even Anbiya, he says, tawaffani muslima wal hikmi bisra. Oh Allah, make me die. When you take my life, take it when I'm a Muslim. Allah says, and you too, make sure you don't die unless you are Muslim. So this was, if we say to Nelson Mandela, make sure you don't die unless you are Muslim. He has died without being a Muslim. How will he meet Allah now? Brothers, let's protect our Islam as much as possible. Your iman must not go. You must not do something that will destroy your iman and for which you regret forever. Once you die, it's over. May Allah protect us. Make us die upon iman. So we don't know him to be a Muslim. Wallahu a'lam. Should somebody be taking blood group before he marries a woman? The matter rests with the individual. The matter is with the individual. The matter rests with the individual. If you think you have strong iman, you go ahead. If you don't have iman, stay there. If you still have iman, don't try your iman. I tell you, it's not an easy thing. I know somebody who has 3 children. SS. I tell you, it's not easy. It takes a toll on the family. A sister once called and was saying that her first child, SS, her second child, SS, but they both married themselves with iman that it does not affect them. She said, but the 2 children only have something like malaria and then they go to the hospital and they take some drugs and it stops. I say, but the hospital is now encouraging her to tell the husband to stop having her to have children, but rather he should marry another wife. I say, look here. Don't mix 2 things together. If your husband wants to marry, let him marry because he wants to marry another wife. Don't mix it up. If you want to stop having children because you are afraid, stop. Don't mix the 2 up. Let not your husband mix up. Let him handle your case separately and handle his case to have more children also separately. They are 2 different cases, but don't let shaitan deceive you. If you really had the iman at the time you got married, that Allah has control over affairs, and that whether you have SSS or not, or whether they disturb you or not, it's in the hands of Allah, and that you hope positively in him that you will not have children that will disturb you, don't let shaitan make him feel that you are useless. Because shaitan will be telling you, see now, you say you have iman in Allah, you'll be making guess at you. Don't allow that to happen. Stand firm. That Allah you believe, if your belief then was true, Allah will not disgrace you. That time, at the beginning, if it is not iman of mouth, if it was real iman, Allah will not disgrace you. So be firm. And then your husband, if he wants to marry another wife, that's another thing altogether. You don't have a say in that. Leave him to take his own personal decision. So that is the answer, my dear brother. May Allah protect us all. Don't think that it's only SS. People have other things too that are more than issue of SS and all that. There are many things Allah has. May Allah protect us.
5 or 6. The last question, inshallah, because of time. Time is fast.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
How do we enlighten an individual that makes jest of anything that is from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad? Leave that aspect. How do we enlighten the person? Enlightenment does not have a how, except in the person giving the enlightenment. The first thing is that you must be very knowledgeable about what you want to enlighten somebody about. I have found this as a problem among young brothers. Most times we want to educate people about something, we ourselves have not researched that matter properly. It's not true. Before you meet somebody, you say you want to face somebody to educate him about something, learn about it very well. If you don't know about it very well, leave him. It's not compulsory that you do. Because you don't have the knowledge. So it's not compulsory on you. But the one who has the knowledge is the one who should do it, who must do it in the circumstance. So firstly, if you want to educate somebody or enlighten somebody about a matter, you first of all learn about that matter. You can't be a teacher in a matter you don't know, because you can't give what you don't have. Secondly, brother, we need to be very, very patient with people. That was why I said, don't bring the second aspect of that question. We need to be very patient with people. Very, very patient. Because many of us, many brothers, before they too began to become sunnah brothers, it took time. That time nobody called you a kafir. Like Allah would say in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You too, you were like that yesterday, before Allah showed out his favor on you. So be patient with the man. Or with the woman, as the case may be patient. Don't say today, you have told him. You have told him one hadith, he has told him. He didn't say kafir. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's common with young people now. I have told him the evidence, now he didn't want to take it. And they say anybody will show evidence, he didn't take it, kafir. So look here, come, kafir. So when he says, brother, salam alaikum, he say, I can't run to the person. He said, assalamu alaikum, brother. There are people like that. I'm not hypothesizing. Don't do that. That is extremism. It does not pay you that he's a kafir when he was a Muslim. Does it pay you? What pays you is that he's a Muslim and you help him better his Islam. It doesn't pay you that he was a Muslim and it was from your own mouth that he was entering kufr. You are the one, you are the sabab, you are the cause of his going to kufr. It does not pay off. What pays us is that we are sabab to his coming into Islam. I'll say something here and I'll stop, inshallah. During the Hajj, last Hajj, I was making a tawaf. I heard a brother saying something. It really, really captured my attention during the tawaf. He says, Allahumma ij'alni sababan miftah al-khayr lina. Oh Allah, make me the key to the goodness for people. وَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي مِفْتَاحَ الشَّرِّ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't make me the key to evil for people. Wallahi, he was making tawaf. I stopped and was looking at the man. It's as he was an Arab. He was just saying, Allahumma ij'alni, oh Allah, make me a key of goodness for people. Don't make me a key of evil to them. That is, make me something that when I deal with people, they gain. They get goodness. Don't make me somebody that when people meet, they get evil from me. If you talk to somebody, look here, I said, this is video. You tell me, oh, I don't agree. So if you don't agree, cook your cat. What has he gained from you? He has not gained good from you. But to do that, we need a lot of patience. Sabr. We need a lot of patience when we deal with people who have opinions different from our own. I'm going to stop here, inshallah. Next class, we are dealing with sihr. May Allah protect us.